This morning's reading is from Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. In the Pew Bibles, this is on page 1008, there are now some large print versions of the ESV available, and if you have one of these, it's on page 1284. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. This is the word of the Lord.
We're continuing our series this morning in the book of Hebrews, and we're in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 begins with a definition of faith. And it says that in verse 1. It doesn't say everything that there is to be said about faith, but it's a helpful definition. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so we've been saying that faith involves two things. It's believing in what you do not see, that's God, and it's believing what you hope for, that's a reward from God, that's that God is good. And so faith involves those two things. You know, if you want to know what faith is, what the Christian faith is all about, it's believing that there's a God and that this God is good and he rewards those who trust in Jesus Christ. And now, in the rest of Hebrews 11, the writer proceeds by giving us examples, demonstrations of people who have this faith. It's a list, a litany, as it were, of Old Testament believers, Old Testament characters, who believe that God exists and believe that God is good and God is going to reward them as they trust in him. And we've been looking at the different characters over the past few weeks. In the past 3 weeks, we've looked at the example of Abraham, who in many ways is the example in the Old Testament of a person who lived by faith. And now this week, we're going to be looking at Moses. Now, I want us to take a step back and just ask, why all this talk about faith here in Hebrews 11? Why this long list of people? Well, it's because the people this writer is writing to, the Hebrews, were experiencing difficulties in their life. They were suffering. They were being badly treated. They were going through lots of troubles and trials and difficulties and distresses. And at a time like that, when things aren't going well in your life, you can be tempted to ditch your faith. To say, you know, it's not really doing anything for me. I'm just going to turn away from it. And so the reason for all this talk about faith and these examples of people who live by faith is because the writer wants to encourage the readers, that's you and me as well, to live by faith. Never to throw in the towel. Not to jack it all in, but to persevere, to press on in faith, no matter what happens to us. No matter the difficulties we face in our lives and the troubles and the trials, but to keep trusting in God, to keep believing that he exists. And keep believing that he is good and going to reward those who trust in Jesus. Now, in our passage this morning, we're looking at Moses. And we're reminded here of four circumstances in Moses' life. Four life-threatening situations. These weren't just general difficulties like we all face. These were situations of life and death for Moses. Four times when he was under huge pressure, four times in his life where he required faith and trust in God to see him through. You can see those four times by the words "by faith," which appear four times in the passage. By faith, Moses persevered. He kept trusting in God. You see, this example of Moses is given before us here to show that in the toughest times of life, even in matters of life and death, faith makes all the difference in the world. And so there's four things that I want us to see from the life of Moses, four things that faith produced at these difficult times. Faith produced courage. Faith produced costly choices. Faith produced commitment. And finally, faith produced confidence. Four things that Moses needed. Faith produced courage. Faith produced costly choices. Faith produced commitment. And faith produced confidence. Let's look at each one of these. First of all, faith produced courage. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now let me just remind you a bit about the background. Jacob and his 12 sons, so that's Abraham's grandson, and all his sons went to Egypt because there was a famine where they lived, and there was lots of food in Egypt. They lived there, and they died there, and they grew in number there. And so their family grew from about 70 people to about 1 million people over the space of 400 years. And over that time, the Egyptians turned them into slaves because they were a bit of a threat to to Pharaoh's power, to the power of the king. In fact, they became so much of a threat that if you remember the story, Pharaoh wanted to kill all the baby boys by drowning them in the River Nile. And so Moses' parents were faced with a choice. Pharaoh the king said, all the baby boys need to be drowned. That's the first issue that they had to face. And the second issue was this. If they hid Moses, now just a quick thing, it says he was a beautiful baby. That wasn't because he was particularly attractive, because every three-month-old is beautiful or not beautiful, depending on how you define beauty. It was because they saw that he was a child who belonged to God. He was part of God's people. And so there were two threats to this baby. The first is that the baby might die. The second threat is that the parents would be killed if they hid the baby. And so Moses' parents were, there was a big danger. Do we kill the baby? Or do we face possible death ourselves by hiding the baby from Pharaoh? But by faith, they had courage. They hid the baby. Unfortunately, the baby was saved. Now the question is this. Why did their faith give them courage so they weren't afraid of what Pharaoh said? You know, it's a terrifying thing. Pharaoh could do whatever he liked. He was the ruler of Egypt. He was probably the most powerful person in the world at the time. He could do whatever he liked. And he said, all these baby boys need to be killed. You know, the chance of them surviving was small. Why did their faith give them courage to hide the baby? Because faith freed them from the fear of death. They were not afraid to die at the hands of the king, because they believed that doing what God wanted, doing what God said, was more important than doing what the king said. Because God is greater than the king. And God's reward of life forever with him was greater than the king's reward of life just here and now. And so they said, it's worth risking our lives to save our baby. You know, this story reminds me of a book I read a couple of years ago called The Hiding Place. I know some of you have read it. And it's a story of a lady called Corrie ten Boom and her sister and their father, who hid Jews from the Nazis in the Second World War, even though they were threatened with a concentration camp for doing so. Even though they ended up in a concentration camp for doing so. You see, they thought this is the right thing to do. And by faith, they had the courage to do it. even though it meant dying in Corrie's sister's case for doing so. Now this is so relevant for us. We need courage if we're going to live this life. We need courage to live as Christians in this world. You know, whether that's courage to speak to your colleagues at work and to tell them that you're Christian. Whether it's to speak out about work practices or life practices which just aren't in line with what the Bible says. Whether it's courage to move to a tough area. Whether it's courage to stay in a tough area because the people there need to hear about Jesus. Whether it's courage to stay single even though you really want to be married. Or whether it's courage to stay married even though you don't want to be. Or maybe it's just courage to do the right thing that you know God is telling you here and now that he wants you to do. Which naturally you're scared of doing. Let me ask, is God asking you this morning to do a tough thing for him? Well, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you look to him, he will give you the courage to see it through. You see, that faith that we need comes from believing and trusting that God is good and that God will reward those who trust in Jesus Christ. See, that's how you become a Christian in the first place. How did you become a Christian in the first place? You look to Jesus Christ and you say, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to follow him come what may. That takes courage. It takes courage to leave your old way of life behind. And to follow him, not knowing where you're going to go. See, by faith, he had courage. But secondly, faith doesn't just produce courage, it produces costly choices. Look at verses 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking for the reward. Now, Moses had massive privileges of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was grandson to the most important, most powerful, richest person in the world. And this was a time when having power really meant having power. You know, Pharaoh could do whatever he liked in 3500 BC. You know, there wasn't anyone who was going to stop him. And if someone tried, they wouldn't be around for much longer. And so Moses, growing up in the palace as his grandson, had massive privileges. You know, he had social privileges. You know, people would see him and they'd bow to him. You know, he could do as he wanted. There wasn't any comeback. He had educational privileges. You know, in a day when people couldn't really read and write, or most people couldn't read and write, he had the best education the world had to offer. He had material privileges. You know, he had everything a 3,500, you know, BC person could want materially. But as he grew up, he faced the choice. His choice was this. Would he be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Would he identify himself as Pharaoh's grandson with all the blessings and privileges that had to offer? Or would he suffer with the people of God? That was his choice. Does he enjoy this world with everything that this world had to offer? Or does he suffer with God's people? Does he enjoy the treasures of Egypt? Or does he choose the reproach of Christ? Now, in human terms, there's not much choice there, is there? You know, do you want all these good things, all these privileges, or do you want to suffer? And yet, by faith, he made a costly choice. By faith, he said, I'm going to turn my back on all these privileges which I have, all this money that I have, all this status that I have, all this power that I have, all these opportunities that I have. I'm going to turn my back on all those things And I'm going to join with God's people, and I'm going to suffer with God's people, and I'm going to suffer for Christ. Why? Because he looked forward to a future reward. You see, he believed that God exists and that God was going to reward him, and the privileges and rewards that God was going to give him were greater than anything that Pharaoh could give his grandson. He believed that God's reward was eternal, Pharaoh's wasn't, and that it was going to totally satisfy him. We know that money, sex and power and material goods don't do that, not fully. And so by faith he made this costly choice. He said, I'm going to turn away from what is temporary and the pleasures that are temporary, and I'm going to look to the pleasures that are eternal and look to God who's going to reward me in the future. You know, we face choices every day that are not too dissimilar to this. You know, sometimes the choices seem really small. You know, sometimes the choices and decisions we need to make are really big. And sometimes, you know, the younger we are, the more choices we seem to have to make. But when it comes to choices, we need to make our choices not dependent on the temporary, not dependent on the immediate, but dependent on the future, dependent on what's eternal. See, when it comes to choices, often people say, you know, I wish I knew what God wanted me to do. I wish I knew what God wanted me to do with my life. I wish I knew who God wanted me to marry. I wish I knew where I should live, what job I should do, how I should raise my children. I wish God would just speak to me and tell me about these things. Now, God doesn't usually do that. He doesn't usually reveal his plan for our lives to us. Instead, he gives us the examples in the Bible, examples like the example of Moses, who made his choices not dependent on what's going to give him pleasure now, but on what's going to give him pleasure in the future. See, his decisions were future focused. You know, what is going to be the benefit of this decision in 100 years' time? In 1,000 years' time? In 1,000,000 years' time? And our decisions should be based in the same way. You know, whether it's who you marry, whether it's where you should live, whether it's what job you should do, whether it's how you should raise your family, whether it's what church you should go to, base your decisions not on the immediate, but on the future. What will most help me? This is the question I'd encourage you to ask. What will most help me make it to heaven? What will most help my family persevere in faith? What will most help me grow as a Christian? What will most help me know God's love better in my life? Because however costly the choice is that you have to make now, however much you have to give up now in order to make that choice, it's worth doing it. Even if you have to leave all the pleasures that this world has to offer and turn your back on them, Moses would say to you and me this morning, it was worth it. I'd rather suffer with God's people than to dwell in the tents of wickedness for this life. Third, faith produces costly choices. Third, faith produced commitment. You see that in verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. Seems a bit of a contradiction, does that? Why would you leave Egypt if you're not afraid of the anger of the king? By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now verse 27 here refers to Moses leaving Egypt. He talks about that in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 2. See, like Moses' parents, Moses' life was at risk from the king, from Pharaoh. Let me explain the situation. Moses had seen an Israelite, one of his people, who was being beaten up by an Egyptian slave owner. He was being beaten up by him. And Moses, when no one was looking, took hold of the Egyptian, killed him, and buried him in the sand. And then he did a runner and left Egypt because he knew his life was at risk. Now, the reason he did this was because he had faith in God. What I mean was this. By faith, Moses intervened on behalf of that Israelite and was willing to risk being killed by Pharaoh because he had burnt the bridges with Egypt in his heart. He'd cut the ties of Egypt in his heart. And so when he cut the ties with Egypt in his life, it was just a natural extension of his own life of faith. You see, faith strengthened him to act in accordance with what he actually believed. See, he remained committed to God. He remained committed to God's people, even if that meant that Pharaoh the king was after him and was going to threaten his life. See, Moses, with the eyes of faith, saw the invisible God. He saw that God existed. He saw that God rewards those who trust him. And he was more bothered about what God thinks of him than he was bothered about what Pharaoh thinks of him. And so when push came to shove in his life, he was more concerned with God's thoughts and with what God was going to do than with what Pharaoh thought and what Pharaoh was going to do. God's reward meant more to him than the security of Pharaoh in Egypt. You know, he was so single-minded in his commitment to God that he was willing to risk everything in order to follow through. You know, we've got the Olympics coming up in the summer, and one of the things that always amazes me about Olympic athletes is just what they have to go through in order to try and win a medal. You know, you read about the eating habits and what they have to eat and what they have to drink. You know, they drink random wheat, grass, and that sort of stuff. And the way they have to live their life, you know, they go on these training regimens, which mean they have to spend like half an hour in a nice bath. Like spending a minute in a nice bath is not my idea of pleasure. But they spend like half an hour or more in a nice bath because for the muscles and things. You know, these guys are so single-minded in their commitment to win a medal that they're willing to put everything else in their life to one side in order that they might do that. And that is the same sort of commitment that Moses had. I'm going to put everything else to one side. I'm just going to go for this, no matter what the consequences. You see, that's the sort of commitment that you and I are called for, are called to have. And where do we get it from? What will help you persevere? What will help you to be committed? Well, it's seeing the same thing that Moses saw. Seeing that God exists. Seeing that God rewards. Keeping that at the forefront of your mind. Hanging there, as it were, like an Olympic medal and saying, I'm going to go for God no matter what the cost. No matter if in this situation there's going to be comeback on me. Because I don't care about the immediate comeback. I'm so focused on Christ. I'm so focused on making it to heaven that all these other things just fall away. See, I don't think Moses weighed things up in his mind. I think he just acted in accordance with his faith. He said, I'm more bothered about what God thinks than what my family think. I'm more bothered about what God thinks than what my colleagues at work think. I'm more bothered about what God thinks than what my neighbours think. Because God is big in my eyes. And so everyone else is small. That's the third thing we see here. By faith, faith produces commitment. By faith, Moses had commitment. Finally, Faith breeds, faith produces confidence. Verse 28. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Now this seems a bit obscure, but let me explain. The death of the firstborn was the last of the 10 plagues which God sent on Egypt. So God's people are slaves in Egypt. Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Pharaoh said no, and so God said, I'm going to send 10 plagues on Egypt in order to force you to free these people from slavery. And the final one of those was the death of the firstborn sons in every house in Egypt. Now, in order that the firstborn sons of the Israelites were safe, God said to Moses, tell all my people to kill a lamb, to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel of your house. So when the angel of death comes and inflicts this terrible, this awful plague on Egypt, all your children will be safe. Because the angel of death will pass over your house as they will see that a sacrifice has been made. Now this is the thing about Moses here. Those instructions were as weird to Moses as they are weird sounding to us. And yet Moses obeyed them. You know, Moses couldn't see the outcome immediately of his obedience. He couldn't see immediately in the moment what that would do. You know, when they painted the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, nothing happened in that moment. It wasn't like some wonderful sign appeared. But the following morning, they saw the benefit of it. You see, this is the key thing. Faith gave Moses confidence in God's word, even when the effects did not appear. You see, Moses looked to the future and the effects of his faith. He saw by faith that what God said was going to happen, that the children would be safe. You know, we live in an instant age where we expect things to happen in the moment. You know, I do this with gardening. You know, I don't know if you're into gardening, but you know what happens with gardening? You plant a tree in autumn. Okay, it looks like a stick. Now, I live for the moment far too much, and so I want immediate results. I plant a tree in November. I expect there to be hundreds of apples on by December. That doesn't happen. If you're not into gardening, just let me tell you, that doesn't happen. But I expect it to happen. But if you've been gardening for a while, you realise that you won't have immediate apples, but over the next year, over the next 10 years, over the next 30 years, you'll have buckets and buckets of apples if you've done things right. You see, we live so much for the instant and the immediate. And yet faith requires us to look to the future, to have great, great confidence, not in what's going to happen in the moment, but what will happen in the future as a result of our faith. You see, faith has confidence that what God says is true. That's what Moses believed. And of course, we know that this Passover, this sacrifice of this lamb, was a pointer to Jesus Christ himself. And the promises that God gives us in Jesus Christ are even greater than the promises that God gives Moses. It's not just the saving of the children, but the saving of all of us who put our trust in Jesus. And so faith gives us confidence that what God says about Jesus' death will happen. That when Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself all our sins, all our failings, all our brokenness, all our mess. All those things were done away with at the cross so that we will never ever experience God's anger and God's judgment for those things. You know, even though we don't feel the full benefits of that now, we still live in a broken world. Our lives are still broken and messed up. And they will be until the day we die. But by faith, we can have confidence that our sins will never come back on us. That we will never experience judgment for them. That we have life now and we will have life forever because of what Jesus has done for us. And that should give us great confidence. It should help us to live without fear. It should help us to live without any feeling of guilt. Not because we never experience fear or guilt in our lives, because we live in a broken and messed up world, but because we know that these things have been done away with in and through Jesus Christ. And so when things come at us and we're fearful, when things come at us and accuse us and make us feel guilty, we can say, I've got no guilt in life. I've got no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. That is the sort of confidence that faith in Jesus Christ produces. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that faith does make a difference. It makes a massive difference. Lord, it makes all the difference between life and death. Grant us faith this morning. Help us to keep believing. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we will face this week, this month, help us to keep trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to persevere. May we never give up. Hold us, sustain us, and keep us by your grace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.